The stock market's being carried by a couple of big names. But for everything else out there, well, it's hit or miss. And if you're taking those shots, you make sure you want to hit. So you want to know what New Constructs is saying about stocks? This is the Danger Zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone, where we talk with the experts from New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous based on their evaluations, which are forensic accounting meets free cash flow analysis done from the bottom working to the top. In other words, they start at the footnotes and they work towards the quarterly earnings numbers and all the stuff that's at the top of the data heap. By doing that, they get what they believe is a true picture of what's happening with the stock. And if a stock looks good at the top, but not so good from the bottom, then it's misleading. And that makes it dangerous. And conversely, if it looks ugly at the top, but it's looking good from the bottom up, then that's something that's attractive. If you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter at newconstructs, and they blog about all their Danger Zone picks. So you can get more information on anything you hear here. Joining me now, it's David Trainer, president of New Constructs. David, great to have you back on the show.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the Danger Zone this week?
Tesla.
Tesla, T-S-L-A, and why are we saying
danger, danger
on Tesla now? Because I should point out, Tesla has been in the danger zone before, and I'm not saying the pick was wrong. I am just saying, well, it defied gravity, which means
it's wrong, shockingly wrong.
Maybe shockingly wrong. But you're still trying again, which means that everything you disliked about Tesla is still there. Tesla's up. Does that just mean that everything is even that much bigger right now?
Yeah. You know, to use the stock picking parlance, we got our face ripped off on this Danger Zone call. The stock's up 536%, while the S&P's up 8% over the same time period when we put Tesla in the Danger Zone almost exactly a year ago. You know, this situation, extremely irrational exuberance, I think, is what we're going to title this. And we just lay out some numbers that then you stack this thing up from a fundamental perspective. It's just kind of ridiculous. But we're adding a new wrinkle this time around. It's the expected electronic vehicle production from the other big automakers, Toyota, Honda, GM, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler. And I don't think investors in Tesla, in fact, I know most investors in Tesla, they're not looking around the corner. They're looking at their chart. At some point, the music's going to stop here. When it does, it's going to crush a lot of people. We're here today to show you just how much people are going to get crushed when the music does stop.
Tell us exactly how that happens, because, like I said, I know you've been waiting for the crash, but it hasn't happened yet. So let's first set up how ugly this crash is going to get. And then let's talk about what might actually make it happen this time.
Basically, the stock price today is implying that they're going to be selling as many vehicles as Toyota and GM by 2030 at the $56,700 average selling price. It will be basically 30% of the market at that point in time. Whereas Morgan Stanley's analyst projects Tesla will only be at 3 million, and that's a very bullish analyst. So the disconnects here, when you look at the numbers, don't add up. Further, like the average selling price of $56,700 is ridiculous. You know, the average selling price for most cars is $37,000. So that kind of stuff's just not going to happen.
That average selling price would cover like my last four vehicles.
Yeah. They're beautiful cars, and I'm not trying to say that it's a bad deal to buy one. I think car owners who want that kind of car are smart to buy a Tesla. It's a good product. You're getting it below cost, effectively. All the profit that Tesla has been reporting recently is purely a function of selling regulatory credits that it achieves for being an all-electric vehicle manufacturer. It gets an excess of credits because it's all electric vehicles. And so, like, even, for example, on its way to reporting GAAP net income of $104 million in 2Q, they sold $428 million in regulatory credits. So like four times the profits was a function of these free 100% margin credits that it gets from the government. These credits are purchased by other automakers to compensate for the fact that they're not yet achieving the regulatory required ratio of electric to gas vehicles. I think the big thing people are missing these days is that the other big vehicle manufacturers are planning to get into the electronic vehicle space in a big way. We've got a chart in our report that shows that the expected manufacturing capability of vehicles to compare to the other big automakers is huge. These guys are going to be getting into the space in a size that is way bigger than what Tesla's have achieved. So, for example, Tesla was around 330,000 vehicles, I think, in the last year. Toyota is planning to produce 500,000 a year by 2025. Volkswagen is looking to produce 1.5 million in 2025. So what's going to happen is that all of a sudden they're going to go from having very limited competition to huge competition. And this competition, Chuck, is going to enjoy enormous economies of scale with respect just to manufacturing and cost savings, distribution with all the dealerships, as well as marketing because of their ability to do this across so many dealerships, you know, same advertising for a whole lot more cars. It's the scale and manufacturing capabilities that have made the big auto producers the successful businesses that they've always been. And this is sort of like the rabbit versus the turtle here. You know, Tesla's the rabbit furiously running out ahead. The big automakers are just sitting there like, yeah, we're getting into this business, but we're going to get into it with scale. We're not going to rush out and say we've got some great car that we can produce a very small number of units for. They're going to have 20-plus models of different electric vehicles and trucks and be producing a multiple of what Tesla produces and therefore at a much slower cost and probably higher quality.
What ultimately wakes the market up? Because Tesla is trading at over $1,400 a share. And as you pointed out, nobody seemed to bite on it the last time you thought trouble was coming. So now the trouble has gotten inflated. It's that much worse, but the market can remain irrational longer than we can remain solvent. What makes anybody wake up to this?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say, right? I mean, I'm not the only person out there. Some really smart folks have talked about how they're short Tesla and how, you know, they think it's a scam. It's people a lot smarter and a lot better respected even than we are have said this. So the callus is going to be tough. I think it's going to be probably as the market sort of caps out and investors aren't sort of flush with a lot of excess COVID liquidity and cash. And, you know, at some point the music stops. It's hard to tell where. Potentially, it's just general awareness of how expensive things are and how much risk they're taking.
Well, they certainly are taking some of that risk. So while you could be driving your Tesla,
baby, you can drive my car.
You have to worry about how this one's going to end. And David Trainer says Tesla, T-S-L-A, is headed for a crash. If you want to learn more, go to newconstructs.com. Remember, they blog about their danger zone picks, so there's a lot more detail for you there. David Trainer, thanks as always for joining us.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
Up next on Money Life, it's market call time. I'll be talking stocks with David Miller from the Catalyst Funds right after this message.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.